All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Last week we talked about how God has chosen you for salvation. He's chosen each one of us for salvation. All who will receive Him and choose to have a relationship with Him, He has chosen you for salvation before the foundation of the world. Today we're going to go a step further. Many in our society look for hope and they look for fulfillment in all the wrong places and things. Whether it's toys or wealth, whether it's relationships, maybe it's a career, maybe it's just prestige, making a name for yourself, leaving your lasting mark on this world. People look for hope and they look for fulfillment in all these things. But folks, real lasting hope is only found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is hope in salvation. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5. If you would, let's stand in honor of God's word as we read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts and help us to understand, Lord, there is so much hope. There's so much despair in this world, but Lord, there is hope in You. And help us to realize that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There is hope in salvation. Amen. There is great hope in salvation. Peter talks about that here. And remember the persecution that his readers are going through at this time under Emperor Nero. He is trying to encourage the believers that have been scattered throughout the region that there is hope. You have been chosen for salvation. God loves you, and there is hope in salvation. Regardless of the persecution and the things that you're going through now, God loves you, and He has chosen you for salvation, and there is hope. Salvation, how is there hope in salvation? Well, salvation, we see here, much of the doctrine we believe on salvation comes from the book of 1 Peter. And Peter says here that salvation is provided by God alone. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Folks, I want you to understand this morning that God alone provides salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. God had a plan for redemption before time began. And I want you to understand that the fall, when man chose to sin in the garden, the fall did not catch God off guard. God was not surprised by that. He knew it would happen. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God had a plan to redeem us from the clutches of sin. He knew we would fail. He knew it would happen. And so it didn't catch Him by surprise. His perfect plan to redeem mankind would come at the perfect time. God had an appointed time when He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to die for our sins and be raised again so that we could be forgiven and so that we could be cleansed. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, the perfect time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I hope something you keep hearing here is the term adoption of sons. We are, if you know Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And there is great hope in that. There's great joy in that. God loves you. And at the perfect time, according to His plan that He had before time began, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the clutches of sin. But folks, what that tells me, God alone is the source of salvation. God alone set this plan in motion. God, it says, rich in His love and rich in His mercy, God reached down to us. Even at a time, one of the darkest times in history, when the Roman Empire was going around, Nero was going around, many of the emperors of that time persecuted Christians. The Roman Empire, you have to understand, if you did not worship Caesar, then you were often put to death and persecuted. God reached down to us at a time when the world did not reach up to Him. When the world did not so much as lift their head and look to Him, God reached down to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God offers the free gift of salvation to all who will choose to receive it. You see, salvation is not based on anything that we have done. It's not based on who we are, where we were born, what family we came from. It is solely based on the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad. If it were based on me, I could never be saved. I'm a terrible sinner. As Paul said, he said, "I among whom I am chief." He considered himself to be the chief among sinners. I do too. We fail. I fail so many times. But God, rich in His love, rich in His mercy, He reached down to us. He reached down to me. That's why we should be happy about telling the good news, as we sung about this morning, about telling how God touched us. I hope you never get over that moment, believers, when Jesus touched you and made you His own. His son or daughter. Don't ever get over that moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." There are many world religions that believe salvation is based on our merit, on our works, on the things that we do. If I keep the sacraments, if I adhere to the tenets, if I live a good moral life, if I perform all these religious acts and rituals, if I give to the poor, if I do this, if I do that, God will surely let me into heaven. You know, that is one of the things about living where we do. There's another thing I want to point out. There are so many people in our community in Yadkin County that have the mindset that if I'm just a good old boy, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as so-and-so over here. I'm a good person. I'm a good old boy. I don't get in trouble. I obey the law. But I'm sorry. There are going to be a lot of good old boys who are going to open their eyes when they die and find themselves in a place called hell. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. That's not a popular message today. Oprah certainly doesn't like it. Oprah doesn't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. She believes as long as you're sincere. She stated it multiple times. I believe as long as a person is sincere that in their faith that they choose, that there are many ways to heaven. Jesus didn't leave it open to that. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, our best attempts at salvation, at saving ourselves, they're worthless. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our best attempts at being righteous before God are nothing but filthy rags. Our righteousness is found through Jesus Christ. We become the righteousness. He became sin. This is not on the screen, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not in us, in him. The only way we can be righteous, the only way that we are justified and declared holy, is because of Jesus Christ. He took our sin on the cross so that we could be forgiven and justified and declared righteous before God. Salvation is only found through the faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Folks, it's not enough to believe that Jesus existed. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died on the cross and that it was a historical, factual event. You see, when you come to Jesus, when you truly have a salvation encounter with Jesus Christ, your life changes. Your heart changes. The Bible says that, as he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you are born again. You become a new creature. You're born of the Spirit. And you're not the same person that you were before. The demons believe that Jesus exists. They know all too well Jesus exists. But look where they are. Look at their state. You see, salvation takes more than just a head knowledge. It takes a relationship with the Savior. It takes faith. It takes surrender. And it takes commitment. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, a better translation there is if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to realize that you are a sinner. You have to realize one of the things with Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell their folks, you have to first realize you have a problem. Before you can be healed, before you can get over your addiction, you have to first realize you have an issue, you have a problem. And before you can be saved, you have to first admit and realize, God, I am a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all born with a sin nature that was passed down to us from Adam, and we do continue to sin. The Bible is very clear, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all sin. You have to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Not believe that, well, I believe so. It's not that country believe. It's not the country boy believe where, well, I believe so. It's a know-so where you say, I trust that Jesus is God's Son. and that He died on the cross for my sins, and He rose again the third day so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be saved. It is a trust to believe. It's the same faith and belief that if I sit on this chair, it's going to hold me up, and I place my faith in it when I sit in it. I can stand here all day and say, well, I trust that chair will hold me up, but if I never sit in it, I've never demonstrated my true trust and faith. We can say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but until we rest in Him, until we sit in His hands and give our heart and our lives to Him and commit ourselves to Him as our Lord and Savior, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We have to say, Lord, I make You Lord and Master of my life. Until we do that, we've not really trusted Him. We have to surrender and commit our life to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. Too many people treat their faith like a rabbit's foot. It's not a part of who they are. It's just something they pull out when they need it. Real saving faith, it's who you are. Because God provides salvation, those of us who know Christ, folks, we have hope. We have a tremendous hope. Apart from Jesus, though, we have no hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, listen to what Paul says. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. You skip down to verse 17. He says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, or it's empty, it's vain. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. If He is not the Son of God, if He did not rise from the dead, then our faith is empty. Apart from Jesus Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, we cannot be saved. But because of Jesus' work on the cross, because that He did rise from the grave, He is the only person who ever rose from the grave besides Lazarus wasn't really resurrected. Resurrected means raised never to die again. He was resuscitated by Jesus. He was brought forth from the grave, but He did eventually die again. Jesus is the only one. There have been many religious leaders throughout history who've come and gone. Muhammad is dead. All these other guys, they're dead. They died. They did not rise from the grave, but Jesus did. History accounts for it. Time was split in half. It was such a dramatic event. People today can say all they want to. But why would 12 common sense men go to their death and so many others over something that did not happen? Why would they make it up? Why would they die martyrs' deaths if this was not a factual event in history? It does not make sense. They knew Jesus rose from the dead. They worked and ministered with Jesus, those 12, for 3 years. They knew Him. And they knew what He did. They knew He rose from the dead. We have incredible hope because He did rise from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We have to understand that before we accepted Christ, it's a good reminder for us as believers to remember when we were in our sins, we were dead
spiritually. In our sins, we are dead spiritually. We have no hope, and our eternal outcome is death. Death and eternal separation from a God who loves us. But because He loves us, because of His rich mercy, He sent forth His Son. And He made us alive. He quickened us. He has made us alive. Amen. Because of Jesus, we're not dead in our sins. We've been made alive. Alive in Him. And we will live forever. Folks, that's incredible hope. Our hope of forgiveness and everlasting life is rooted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The penalty for sin has been paid. We are set free. We're no longer dead in sin, but we're born again as living, eternal creatures. The problem of sin has been dealt with. We've been set free from sin and the bondage of sin to serve and worship God Almighty. We're adopted as sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We have an everlasting hope awaiting us in heaven. There's incredible hope that no matter what happens on this earth, I have a living hope to look forward to. No matter what the world does to this body, I know where my soul is going. That is incredible hope, folks. Incredible hope. Salvation is provided by God. Salvation is permanently established by God. You look at verse 4. What has He done? He's given us an inheritance. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. We have an incredible inheritance. We receive a spiritual inheritance. When you receive Jesus Christ, you are promised an eternal spiritual inheritance. This word inheritance, of course, means wealth or property that's been passed down from one to another. God's children, as I said earlier, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God and everything that goes with it. We inherit everlasting life. We inherit heaven. We have an incredible inheritance. And it's described here three ways. He says it's incorruptible. It's a word that means it's not subject to decay. It's not subject to destruction. Our inheritance is unrivaled by anything this world has to offer. You read Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22. It describes the new Jerusalem and it describes the new heavens and the new earth. That awaits us. Those of us who know Jesus Christ, that is your eternal home that we have to look forward to. City and streets made of the purest gold. Walls made out of jasper. Foundations of those walls of the purest jewels and gems. The gates are made out of pearl. There's no sun, there's no moon, and there's certainly no power bill. You know why? Because it says the Lamb lights the city. My Savior lights that city. We have a dwelling place prepared for us by Jesus Himself. He says over in John chapter 14, I believe, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will receive you again unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The tree of life grows in it. The river of life runs through it. There's no more curse. There's no more sin. There's no more tears. No more pain. No more death.
and my God is there. And I will serve Him and worship Him for all eternity. Folks, if that's not hope, and if that doesn't get your heart going, I don't know what will. It's an incorruptible inheritance. It's also an undefiled inheritance. It's free of defect. It's flawless and it's perfect. The world and everything in it, you have to understand, is stained and polluted by the effects of sin. But heaven is not. Heaven is holy. It is pure. And the inheritance awaiting God's children is completely flawless. It is completely unaffected by sin and the effects of it. He also says it is an inheritance that does not fade away. This is an interesting word. It's a word that means it does not wither or die. This is a word in secular Greek that was used to describe a perennial flower, or a flower that always bloomed year round. Our inheritance is like that flower. Our inheritance will never grow old. It will never wither. It will never lose its beauty and value. Heaven is a sinless, perfect, permanent place full of God's blessings and full of God's beauty. Heaven is a place permanently established by God. Heaven is also powerfully secured by God. Verse 4, that last phrase, he says, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, our salvation in heaven is reserved in heaven for us. This word reserved means to keep watch over or to guard. Our inheritance, folks, is safely guarded by God Himself. How do I know that? John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." I'd say that's pretty secure, don't you? Our inheritance is guarded by God Himself. And our inheritance does not change, nor can anyone take it from us, or steal it, or plunder it. We are secured. Believers are secured. Those who have committed their life to Jesus Christ are secured by the power of God through faith. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you have placed your faith in Him and received His gift of eternal salvation and forgiveness, the Bible is very clear that you have been sealed. What does that mean, that you have been sealed? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, being believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What does it mean to be sealed? The word sealed means to put a mark on something, to identify or to claim ownership. You see, God, if you know Jesus Christ and you've committed your life to Him, through His Spirit, God has put a mark on you, and He has sealed you through His Spirit for the day of ultimate redemption when Jesus returns. Because God is the source of our salvation and the security of our salvation cannot be altered or destroyed by man or by Satan. And folks, that includes ourselves. If you're a believer and you've wandered, it doesn't matter how far you wandered, you still have that mark on you. You still belong to Him. One of the greatest evidences that you are a child of God is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit living within you. Because the Holy Spirit would not live within you if you were not a child of God. Believers wonder, we sin, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit is evidence of our hope. God's children belong to Him, and nothing can ever change that. We have a tremendous hope. As we close this morning, let me ask you, does your life reflect genuine faith and hope in Jesus Christ? What are you doing with that hope? Are you keeping it to yourself, or are you sharing the good news with others? I love it when the music. Folks, God's working. I fully believe that this morning. Because the music and the message have been in line, and this has happened for several weeks. Are you telling the good news of the hope that is in you? Are you keeping it to yourself? If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me ask you this, are you looking for hope in all the wrong places? Have you been trying to find fulfillment in the things of this world and you know you're still empty? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. If you're looking for abundant, fulfilled, full life, look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him this morning? Heard a quote this week from Scripture. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Will you receive Him this morning? However the Lord has spoken to you, respond in faith. Respond in truth. Be honest and open before Him as we have a time of invitation. Father, I pray during this time of invitation that You'd speak to our hearts. Help us to be open and honest before You and respond as You lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.